All right, as you guys head to your seats, grab your Bible, open it up to the book of Exodus. Exodus is the second book in the Bible. So right at the beginning, because Genesis, Exodus, that's the Old Testament. We're going to take a look at God this morning. I so appreciated what Chris spoke on last night. I so appreciated how he talked about and through ideas that you like, that we're all religious in some ways and that we all have these things in our lives that we make God or have gods or idols that are so, so important to us. Posing that question, what is most important to you? I so appreciated those questions last night. And I hope you got to think about that. I hope you got to process that. This morning, I want to talk about God, the creator of the universe. And as we interact with God, he plays a role in our life. We all need to be intentional with him or in some ways put other things in front of him. And that at the end of the day, we either choose to trust him or we don't. So I want you to open to Exodus. I want you to open up to chapter 19. I love hearing those pages. I love it. And we're going to start in verse 10. Verse 10. And if you brought your booklet, write that down. Exodus 19:10. Exodus 19:10. We're going to go all the way through verse 20. So 10 verses here. So hang out, follow with along with me. But this gives us a picture of God in ways that so often I try and remember and try and go, okay, this is who I am and this is who God is. As we talk about the story of Saul and how Saul lived, Samuel told him, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. So as we look at God this morning, I want to look at him in a little different way. In verse 10 of chapter 19 of Exodus, it says this, when Moses told the people of the Lord, told the words to the people, to the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set limits to the people all around, saying, take care not to go up on the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch it. He shall be stoned or shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near women. They were preparing themselves to go see God, that they needed to wash their clothes. They needed to prepare to go to God. Even as I set this next section up here, I want you to understand that the people have a role. We have a role with God. Let's read on. In verse 16, it says, on the morning of the third day, there was a thunder and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, And God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called to Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. The people prepared themselves to go meet God, but they weren't allowed to go up, as the mountain was trembling. Like, this is a picture of God that is so much more than I make him in my day to day. That as I read this, as we look at this story of King Saul and Moses telling him to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully, the idea of fearing God is something that I've wrestled with for months. It's something that as I read and I studied the story, I looked at, like, what does it truly mean to fear the Lord? If Samuel's going to tell Saul and the people of Israel twice to do that, it must have been important. Because Samuel was preparing to kind of be done. He'd provided, the people asked for a king, and they got a king. And he's like, all right, you don't need me anymore. I'm not going to be the judge anymore. I don't think I need to be the prophet. And throughout the story, you see that Samuel wasn't done. He still had to be the voice of God for the people and for Saul. This picture of who God is blows my mind. As a mountain is surrounded in fire and smoke is going up, the people of Israel have followed God in a pillar of smoke and fire during the night as they're in the desert making their way to this mountain. And for the next 40 years, we'll follow that pillar of smoke during the day and fire at night. As God provides food and water in the desert, turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah's a little bit further in the New Testament, kind of towards the end. Isaiah was one of the prophets. And one night, Isaiah had this vision, this dream of God. These were guys that were close to God. As Moses got to experience God and go up on the mountain and see him, as he came down at one point, his face was glowing. It was bright and shiny. Isaiah has another image of God. Isaiah 6, one of my absolute favorite images of God, but it's crazy. You guys, it's crazy. Let's read. Chapter 6, verse 1. This is Isaiah. And as Isaiah has a vision of God, he sees some things, these seraphim, these angelic beings with wings that are flapping, these fiery beings that are surrounding God. Let's read it. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. What does that even look like? With two, he covered his face. And with two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." One of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Isaiah, as he sees this image of God, is moved to the point that he realizes that he is unclean, just as God had explained to Moses, go prepare the people, have them wash their clothes, have them get clean as they approach me. As people that follow God, we have a role. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to be in the Word, recognizing that God is the creator of the universe that created each one of us. My favorite part of this verse in Isaiah, when the seraphim are flying around and they're like, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. That's God. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Do you know what that means? Do you guys know what that means? Some of you, yeah, maybe. That means the ocean, the trees, all of you, the whole earth is filled with the glory. His creation, as God created each one of us, unique and different in every way. We're his glory, a representation of who he is and how he is. What is our role in that? As Chris shared last night, what are you making God? What is most important to you? As I read these verses, as I look at that verse that Samuel says to Isaiah, that says to Saul, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. I get stopped up at the second verse, fear. Only fear the Lord. Only fear the Lord. What does that mean? To fear God. Like when I read Exodus, when I read Isaiah, I recognize that I am nothing, that I am unclean, that I don't have it all together. We all grow up and have guys in our life. I grew up in Bakersfield. Grew up in a pretty normal family, and have an amazing family. I love them. I love my mom and my dad. They're actually here today. They're in the back over there. They're incredible, and I share this every week. It's kind of interesting that they're here. But they provided everything for me. My dad worked hard. I have amazing grandparents. And when I picture God, when I try and talk to you guys about the image of God and who he is, God the Father, there's this feeling that I recognize because I'm so visual that I look at my dad and I look at my grandfathers. One in particular that was a builder that was strong, that built a ton of houses, that cared for me. And so often I'd get in trouble and my granny, we'd be hanging out with him and my granny would be like, hey, why don't you go hang out with grandpa? And we'd go out and we'd build something. I remember building my first fort in our backyard and my grandfather was there and I put on my little belt and it had two pockets in it and had nails in it. And I'm learning how to like hammer and stuff and I'm watching him and he's got muscles. I remember seeing him at times get upset, seeing like how strong and powerful he was, and yet gentle with me, that when I would get in trouble, he'd be like, all right, let's go, let's get out of here, and we'd go do something. I've got these men in my life, my father, my dad, and my grandfathers, that are these awesome images when I think of God, the provider. Some of you don't have that. Some of you picture like your dad or your grandpa and don't have those those men in your life that took care of you, that provided. There are men that hurt and did things that only caused pain. But God, the creator of the universe, has limits. He says, hey, don't come near the mountain. Otherwise, you'll die. There's rules to live by. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully and with all your heart and consider what great things he has done. If you do that, you and your people, Saul, you and the Israelites, you'll be fine. But if you don't, you'll perish. The spoiler alert is that he perishes. But we'll talk about that more later. I think for us, we need to have a right image, a right view of who God is. To fear God in reverence and in awe. I love what other verses say about fear. In Proverbs, it talks about 17 times it says it talks about fear. In Proverbs, if you have your booklet, you can write these verses down. Just say like Proverbs 1:7. They're awesome. It says, "Fear, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Huh. Interesting. Proverbs 3:7, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." These verses tell us that having a right view of who God is and how he is leads to understanding, leads to knowledge, leads to us understanding our place. Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor." Proverbs 15:16, this is a great one. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble that comes with it. When I look at Saul, like Saul got everything. He became king. He got a kingdom, he got people, he got a house, he got clothes, he got army. But Proverbs 15:16 says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble that come with it." The Psalms, the middle verse in the middle book in the Bible, over 20 times it talks about the fear of the Lord. A couple of those are Psalms 2:11, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Psalm 33:8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Other books of the Bible, Deuteronomy 4:24, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Have you guys ever thought of God being jealous? That so often we put other things before him, kind of like Chris was talking about last night. We put sports, we put people, and that God is jealous. He wants to have a relationship with us. Philippians 2:9-11 says this, and it talks about Jesus. So the craziness of God, the amazing thing about God is that God sent his son, Jesus, who was also fully God. There's something called the Trinity. And in Philippians 2:9-11, it says, "Therefore God was highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Hebrews 12:28-29, "Therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire, a consuming fire. So often, I don't recognize that the God of the universe, who created each and every one of us, is at work. How do you see him? I think so often I don't, or I feel alone. And in the last 2 months, I feel so alone. Do you guys know what it means, what that word forsaken means right there? That's the theme for this week. What does that mean? Anybody? Anybody? What? Raise your hand. Anybody? Yeah. Alone. I kind of set you up for it, didn't I? Yeah. What else? Anyone? Yeah. Abandoned. Abandoned. Yeah. Yeah. Forgotten. Over there. What? Real loud.
By yourself.
By, oh, thanks. Thanks, buddy. By yourself. Exactly. This idea that so often we feel forsaken, that even Christ, Jesus, fully God, fully man, when he's on the cross, calls out to God and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he took on the sins of each and every one of us, even Christ, who was fully God, felt that aloneness. That feeling of being alone is normal. That feeling of being forsaken is something that many of us do struggle with. And yet on the opposite side of that, don't we often abandon or forsake God as well? We put other things above God and make other things God. Who, what are you going to let rule your life? As we look at this verse, fear the Lord. I want you guys to understand that God is so much more than we make him at times. As we read these verses, Exodus 19, Isaiah 6, that God is so much more. And yet he is gentle. He is this image of what I think of my dad and my grandfather that provides, that takes care of us, that puts his arm around us and takes us to where we need to be. We have so much, you guys. Only fear the Lord. Only fear the Lord. And serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. What has he done for us? I've said a couple of times that God provides, that he has a role. Do we recognize that? When Samuel says, for consider what great things he has done for you, can you survive in a desert? No. Not for very long. You need what in a desert? Water. What else? What else? What else? What else? Cell service. Well, maybe, yeah, now cell service is nice, but if you're just out there and nothing's there, God provided. God provided for the people of Israel. Food, shelter for 40 years, over 1 million people. How does that even work? I have no idea, but he's God. I don't have to. How do you see God working around you? What are the things that he does and he provides for? Food? Shelter? We all have these things that are struggles, that are hard in life, that feel like a desert at times. Do you recognize that God is at work? For consider what great things he has done. If you do that, you your king and you people will be fine. But if you don't, you'll perish. That's what Samuel told Saul and the people twice in chapter 12. God plays a role in our life. We also need to be intentional. We also need to be doing things that show God that we're an active part of that relationship if God is going to rule our life. One day I was walking across this big grass field, and I just all of a sudden was kind of being very contemplative, and I was walking across, and I was thinking about the things that were most important to me, very similarly to what Chris asked you to think about. And I stopped in the middle of this huge grass field one day, one morning, because I was like, oh my goodness. As I thought about the things that were most important to me, I realized that I oftentimes didn't recognize that, or I didn't say it. And I was thinking about that term, I love you. I tell my mom that I love her, my sisters, my family. But I couldn't remember the last time that I'd told God that I love him. And I was just standing there, just so completely moved by that moment, that if God is the most important thing in my life, why would I not tell him that I love him? How could I have gone so long that year, maybe multiple years, without telling God that I love him? That I play a part and have a role, and I need to be intentional. And so I stopped and I said, God, I'm so sorry for not continuing to recognize how much you do and how big you are. God, I love you. And from that day on, I try and tell God that I love him, and not just a quick, hey, I love you. Hey, love you. But God, I love you. For consider what great things he has done for us. So, so much. Only fear the Lord. That's all we have to do. And serve him faithfully with all of our heart. For consider what great things he has done for us. The hardest part of that, for me even, is trust. So I need to recognize that God has a role in my life. I need to be intentional with him. But just the idea of trusting him is so hard for me at times because I'm such a task person. I love to do things. I love to fix things. I love to build things. Like one of the things that I love the most is like doing stuff like this. Like every one of these stones is hand carved and hand painted. Sarah played a big part in making sure that they came out all looking the same and carved. There were so many people that carved those and then painted them. I love seeing all that come together. I'm very task oriented, very detail oriented. I want them to all look exactly the same, but unique in themselves. Not one of them is the same, but they all have a very similar look. Just like us. I love the task, but so often I get consumed in it. And all that task, all those things, I start to take control and don't let God work. We had to make thousands of those rocks at Hume Lake. There's three other castles. And we just kept making them. And I'm like, God, how are we going to do this? And he just kept on telling me, I'll provide, God. I'll provide, Jay. Don't worry about it. I get consumed in the task. As we look at the life of Saul, he gets into these moments where he has to make a decision. And I want you to watch. I want you to read the story of what he does. Is he trusting the Lord? Is he fearing the Lord? Is he allowing God to play a role in his life? The sad part is that if you look at the story in 1 Chronicles 10, 13 and 14, we're gonna fast forward. This is what Saul is known for. It says, so Saul died for his breach of faith. He broke faith with the Lord in that he did not keep the command of the Lord. He did not do the things that God told him to do. When Samuel said, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. If you and your king do that, you'll be fine. But if you don't, you'll perish. He broke faith with the Lord in that he did not keep the command of the Lord. And he also consulted a medium seeking guidance. He did not seek guidance from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. Spoiler alert, it doesn't end well. This book, the Bible, why I love to hear you guys fanning through it. It's because you get to know him, you get to see him, you get to experience him, you can go to him anytime. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. As I read verses that talk about the fear of the Lord, they all point back to him and having a better understanding of who he is. What are you making the God of your life? Small g. Are you making God the creator of the universe? That as we read this book that was written thousands of years ago, that still rings so true, I challenge you to find fault in it. That this book, that we have access to God, is so, so important to our understanding of who God is and how he is. In a second, I'm gonna dismiss you. You're gonna get together with your church or your counselor, and we want you just to continue to talk about God. You might have some questions for your youth pastor, your counselor this week at some point. Hold on. That as you go out, we want to provide you a little bit of time each morning after the morning meeting to talk about what you just experienced. There might be some things that you go, I don't understand what it means to fear the Lord still. Find your counselor, ask him that. That's okay. I've spent my entire life to this point trying to understand God and still don't understand certain parts of him. That's why, as I shared with you for the last 8 months, I say that verse, I read that verse and go, what does it mean to fear the Lord? This is a part of my journey. Welcome to it. I feel so forsaken in it. I feel so alone in it at times. And yet God is right here and right around us as he works. Do you see him? Have you considered what great things he has done for you? You'll spend some time talking with your counselor, your youth pastor, as a church maybe. They'll give you some instructions. They'll continue to hand out your rec shirts. At 10:45, we'll report down to the baseball diamond. The baseball diamond, it's beautiful. Make sure that you walk down Calf Lane and around. Don't walk on the road. Don't walk across the grass. At 11, we'll get started. A full day of fun in serving and enjoying San Diego. Let's pray. God, you are holy, 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 and the whole earth is filled with your glory. Each and every one of these campers, their counselors, the youth pastors, the beauty and vastness of the ocean, even though we can't see it this morning. God, you are huge. And so much more. than I recognize at times. God, thanks for playing a role in our life. May we trust you with all that we are, and may we in turn be intentional with you as well. God, I love you. I love you so much. May we show that love to others today. I pray these things in your Son's precious name, in Jesus' name, amen.